Americans hold a conflicted view of teenagers. On the one hand, we idolize their youth. On the other, we mistrust them, even blame them for many of society's ills. While it may come as news to some that being a teenager is not necessarily a natural state, and that, as a concept, it has a short history. Here to tell us about that history and our op-ed of the week is Thomas Hine. Hine is a writer on American culture and the author of The Rise and Fall of the American Teenager, published by Bard Books.
Members of my generation, the baby boomers, have moved seamlessly from blaming our parents for the ills of society to blaming our children. Teenage villains, such as unwed mothers, reckless drivers, criminal super predators, even new smokers, are familiar figures in the media. We idolize youth, but mistrust the young. We ascribe teenagers' perceived quirks and transgressions to raging hormones and think we're saying something scientific. Many of us view this conflicted, contradictory figure of the teenager as inevitable, part of the development of the human species. Yet youth has a history, and even a casual glance at it shows that the teenager is quite a recent idea. The word teenager first saw print in 1941. People had been speaking of someone in his or her teens for centuries, but that was a description of an individual. To speak of someone as a teenager is to categorize that person as part of a very large group, defined only by age, but presumed to have a lot in common. The word arose when it did because it described something new, a universal experience of America's young. The teenager was a product of the Great Depression, like such other massive projects of the New Deal. The Hoover Dam, for instance, it represented an immense channeling and redirection of energy. Unlike these public works, however, the teenager was a more or less inadvertent invention. First came the country's general economic collapse and a dramatic disappearance of jobs. As in previous panics and depressions, young people were among those thrown out of work. What was different this time, however, was that virtually all young people were thrown out of work as part of a public policy to reserve the jobs that did remain for men who were trying to support a family. There was, however, one old and established institution available to young people who wanted to do something with their time and energy, the high school. The first public high school opened in Boston in 1821, but not until 112 years later were a majority of Americans of what we now think of as high school age actually enrolled. Previous generations of young Americans used their teens to start careers, open businesses, or to marry and raise families. For only a small privileged minority was it seen as a time of schooling and preparation. For young people displaced by the Depression, high school was at first a stopgap, something one did to weather a bad time. But by 1940, an overwhelming majority of young people were enrolled in high school, and perhaps more importantly, there was a general expectation that nearly everyone would go and even graduate. Once a large majority of young people started going to high school, all of them, regardless of their economic or social status, began to be seen as members of a single, rather juvenile group. They were in a class by themselves, ready to be labeled. The word teenager arose precisely at the moment that it seemed to be needed. We now see teenagers as pure consumers. Their energy and impatience makes fashion churn. The $160 billion they spent last year drove some of our most competitive industries. Teenagers are people of whom much is asked, but of whom little is really expected, except that they spend. Teenagers are given little responsibility by their families. They spend most of their time in the company of people exactly the same age as themselves. No wonder they seem like an alien force. Nevertheless, even this little bit of history suggests that being a teenager is not an inevitable stage of human existence. In fact, there are many people living now who came of age before there was anything called a teenager. And once we see the teenager as a social invention, that it rose at a specific time for a specific reason, we might also notice that almost everything has changed since the early 1940s, when this creature first emerged. Knowing that the teenager has a history permits us to ask some fundamental questions. Is this the best way for 21st century youths to spend the second decade of their lives? Are teenagers still necessary?
You've been listening to Thomas Hine, author of The Rise and Fall of the American Teenager, and this is Talking History.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay, and I pity any girl who's in me today. I feel charming, oh so charming. It's alarming how charming I feel.